Maximum Health with your host, Dr. Ken Gray. Dr. Gray obtained his master's in both acupuncture and oriental medicine from the Atlantic Institute of Oriental Medicine. Dr. Gray enjoys both being a physician as well as being an educator. His unique approach to holistic healing has taken him abroad to lecture in Germany and treat sports professionals in Hawaii and France. He is co-author of several books on food therapy. His office is in Jupiter, Florida, where he has practiced for over a decade and where he resides. Now it's time for Maximum Health with Dr. Ken Gray.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Maximum Health Radio, Quality Living with yours truly, Dr. Ken Gray, Holistic Physician. We thank you for joining us every Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard on 88.9 FM, WQCS, National Public Radio, and any past shows, as well as this show, when we're done, it will be on a podcast available via Public Radio Exchange, which also is available for distribution through them nationally. And we appreciate your information, your call-ins, your emails, and just keeping in touch with us, because this is really a worldwide service where we try to focus on and offer you and include you in just the improvement of life in general. It's a new guest every week, and it's the authorities in their fields, and sometimes it's call-ins, and obviously today we have both. We have guests in our studio, and we have a call-in, and today's focus is going to be about just the debris-free oceans and our environment and our oceans at large, and what we can do to take part in our own futures and the success of it going forward, because we're like little children running around without a purpose sometimes, just unaware of how much we're affecting our own existence and our generations to come. And so much of it is the oceans. The largest aspect of planet Earth is our oceans, and we're just doing very little good by it. So we have some amazing individuals in the studio with us. We have Mary Lou Christina Flores from Band the Straw. She founded that.
Hi, everybody. I'm so happy to be here with you all.
So happy to have you. We have Chelsea Reed with us in the studio as well. Her partner in crime, they're doing a lot to make this happen, this Band the Straw, which is really just a start. It's like your lead in to what we can do to really get a lot of the bad stuff out of our oceans and then keep it from getting in there in the first place, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Exactly.
It's your gateway environmental.
Yes, this is step one of a multi-step process that we hope to get the town of Jupiter and everybody who's listening to the show to kind of adopt.
And on the phone with us from Miami, we have Katie Wax, and she's the founder of Debris Free Oceans.
Hello, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be part of this show and with so many amazing, incredible people working in this field.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to fly by. So if you're just tuning in, you know, stay tuned. It's not going to be one of those shows that you want to miss any part of it. Now, when we talk about Band the Straw, tell us why you started with that. I mean, what was your initial passion?
So there's a very alarming statistic that's come out recently that states that over 500 million straws are used in America alone. And when we think about these straws, we're talking about single-use plastic straws. They come from your local McDonald's or Starbucks or, you know, whatever establishment you patron. And imagine all these people disposing of these straws on a daily basis. And these straws can't be recycled, contrary to popular belief, because of the way that they're made, because they're just so lightweight that they end up flying, you know, when they get into landfills due to the elements. And a lot of these straws have ended up in our oceans. And a couple of years ago, there was a video that went viral with this poor sea turtle that had this straw lodged in its nasal cavity. And that really was the first public outcry as to how dangerous these straws are to our environment. On local beaches here in Jupiter and Juneau, they're picking up hundreds of straws at these different beach cleanups that happen on a weekly basis. Mm. Loggerhead Marine Life Center, who is here in Juneau Beach, had a program where they started counting just how many straws they were picking up at the cleanups, and they found that over 6,000 straws were picked up since just January of last year alone. And these are just the ones that they counted, not including other beach cleanup organizations that are here in the area. And this is just one area, one beach here in South Florida. So it really made me realize that people are unaware of the issue. And once we informed them, they were like, oh my God, this makes so much sense. And there's just so many great alternatives out there that are not made out of, you know, fossil fuels or are just single use, one-time disposable items that would be great for the public to kind of adopt.
I've been seeing some of that on social media, the advertisements that pop up, the reusable straws, the collapsible, you know, stainless steel, or the, you know, the package of straws that you've handed me today as a gift, which is aardvark paper straws, and with turtles on them.
Yes.
Yeah, pictures of turtles on them, and they look really cool. And at the end of the day, too, really, how many of us really need to use a straw?
You could actually get the drink to your mouth, yeah, by lifting it.
You know, as you're saying this, and I'm looking at myself, you know, I'm thinking, you know, how many straws have I used in my life, and how many times did I really need it? It's like a programming. It's like you see it on TV and in commercials, and you think, oh, I need a straw to drink a drink, and you don't.
You really don't. You can lift your hand to your face.
Right.
Not only that, but the things, I'm more of a consumer here. Right. I've come into this with passion, and I've luckily run into Mary.
Well, you're more than a consumer. I know we have we have history.
Yes,
and,
we do.
And it's great because any time I've been involved with you, it's been health oriented, mm-hmm. and it's been with your husband as well.
Yes.
And he's been on our show,
yes.
you know, a couple times,
yeah.
For various reasons. Now, you're passionate about health and well-being.
Absolutely.
And this is just one more way that you can affect us and our community. And make us a healthier community, so thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Yeah. And the reason I got into this is we were on vacation back in November, and I literally saw straws flying off the boat into the ocean, and we were on a cruise, and I was thinking about how many people were utilizing, and we have to remember, when we say single use, we're literally using something just for this moment in time to acquire a beverage, and then it's with us forever. It doesn't go away.
Right.
So we have to remember, number one, the single use, but number two, once that single use has taken place, and you know, we're still seeing the straws on the beach, what we're not seeing is what happens a few years later as well. These straws break down and become plastic particulates,
mm-hmm.
and that is when we can really no longer do anything to fix it,
mm-hmm.
because they're so small. They're just so small.
Right.
And again, Loggerhead Marine Life Center is a great place to go and learn about
yep.
it. They're actually collecting them. You can't, we do beach cleanups all the time. You can't pick up plastic particulates.
Right.
So if we stop now with the straws and we pick up all the ones that are out there, we can actually
make a dent in this and the damage.
Make a big dent.
And you know, I think what I'm hearing too from both you, and we're going to get to you, Miss Katie, too, because obviously debris for your oceans, this ties right in, is we need to redefine our definition of disposable.
That's a great
Absolutely.
Point.
Absolutely.
You know, it's so easy to buy something that's disposable and think that it's really going to be disposed of. Just because it's out of our sight doesn't mean it's disposed of, right? So we need to redefine and require that disposable means that reusable or in some way, shape, or form, reformatted, something, but
not just left
to become, you know, fodder for more pollution.
And we want to have fun with it too. I mean, Mary Lou and I were having a glass of wine a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about when our grandmothers went shopping.
Yeah.
They didn't have plastic bags.
Yeah.
We didn't have single-use straws. We really didn't have single-use anything. And they still ate food and drank
yeah.
liquids, and you know, everybody was okay. So it's not that it's that hard to do. It's like learning to drive a car.
Right.
It might be difficult the first couple of times, but then you forget that you needed a plastic straw to have your rim runner. You really don't.
What are you seeing down there in Miami, Katie?
Yeah, so down here, we actually have a lot of exciting momentum moving forward and breaking off of that 500 million straws consumed every day. There was a stat that came out recently that Miami's contributing 700,000 of those every day. So we have a lot of tourists coming down here and drinking fancy beverages. So there's a lot of momentum here locally to start getting plastics out of the equation. Straws are a great start for that because, as you all have mentioned, they're not really needed. You can lift up your drink and sip it, but also people often think it's a cleanliness thing, that they need it. But if you akin it to drinking out of a coffee mug or using silverware or any other type of shared item that hits your mouth at a restaurant, it's really no different.
Right, yeah. It goes through the same cleaning process as the fork.
Exactly. Yeah. And so really it's getting people to move away from this more linear model of consuming goods, which we've really been basing ourselves off of for the past 50 years or so. And that's, you know, a product can be produced, consumed, and disposed of. And we're assuming two fictions, that's part of this. The one is we're assuming that we have infinite resources to pick from, meaning fossil fuels in the case of plastics. And then also we're assuming the fiction that there's infinite disposal capacity, which we're also realizing isn't true, especially as things like in January, China shut its doors to receiving America's recyclables. Because they're creating enough recyclables over in their own country. So we're now going to have to start dealing more intensely domestically with our waste products, and we can't just ship it away, which in essence is probably going to be a good thing because we'll actually have to be responsible for it. But it's really moving from this linear model of consuming things towards a circular model where there really is no creation of waste. I think the idea of waste needs to be rethought of, and waste needs to be something that is an end product that becomes usable for something else.
Mm. So important. You know, I'm listening to you all again, and I'm daydreaming a little bit of ways to improve myself, but also of some of the things we've seen over the years. I know I'm 43 and I'm getting on in years, and I've experienced some things, but some of what I've experienced is seeing science fiction become science fact. And so many of the older movies show this future of piles of trash and how it affected our atmosphere being affected, and then of course the water is being polluted to the point where rain is less and less, or the rain becomes more acidic, or, you know, there's all these scenarios. And we're, you know, in the beginning of the show, I started it off, we're like children running around. and not all of us. There are those out there that really do their part and are really super conscious and really aware of how we are involved with our own demise or success or thriving of, you know, quality of life. Besides the straws and besides becoming aware, how are you involving communities? And I really believe a lot of it has to do with the children, the next generation. So you mentioned Loggerhead, which we've had on the show as well, mm-hmm. Jack Layton.
Yeah, Jack's great.
He's great at involving children. How is the Band of Straw? What are some of the programs?
Well, I'll tell you what. Katie has a wonderful educational module going on in Miami already, which we're hoping to adopt in Jupiter.
Okay.
If Katie, do you want to chat about that for a second? Because she's actually directly influencing children there.
Thank you. So we have an education program that we run. To date, we've educated over 4,500 students in Miami-Dade County. And essentially, what we do is we go out into the classroom and we have an educational program about plastic pollution that talks about everything from the impacts of plastic pollution on marine life, the economy, human health, and also it goes into the culture and history of plastics because, as we spoke about a little bit briefly, plastics have really only been widely used since about the 1950s, and things like plastic water bottles, which we assume have been around since the 1990s. So we give them this presentation. We teach them how they can incorporate zero waste principles into their lives. And then we also provide them, thanks to a generous grant from Lush Cosmetics, a zero waste toolkit. And this zero waste toolkit includes a reusable bottle, reusable silverware, and reusable bag. So essentially, the students have gotten a very in-depth plastic pollution education, and then they're given the tools they need to switch over and start utilizing some of those zero waste concepts in their everyday lives. And we've been surveying the students pre and post to determine the impact and the understanding of the student's individual impact on plastic pollution in the environment goes from extremely low, like less than 10% understanding that they have an actual impact to way above 95%. So people really are starting to realize that their individual consumption has an impact and that they can go out and do something about it.
Mm. It sounds promising. And how are they receiving that? You know, you said they're starting to understand, but is this with enthusiasm? Do you have some that have arguments against this or just in denial? Or are they all pretty much aware? You know, because obviously we have people in government that just don't even want to pay attention to this. And these are adults. How are the children? Do you see that diversity of ways of thinking? Or are they all pretty much like, no, this is a problem. We get it. And we're going to be a part of it.
So it's pretty impressive. It's really... They're very on board. Most students come up to me and say that they want to do even more. They want to organize cleanups. They want to talk to their government. I feel like the next generation is extremely motivated to take action, and it's really inspiring to see them moving forward. And I think the students at Parkland are a great example of that, where they're not being persuaded by greed,
right.
And they're moving towards what's right because they're impassioned, and it's really a beautiful thing to see the next generation really starting to stand up for what is right.
Mm. And I love seeing, you know, I know my children and other students, when they drop to the drop-offs, you have, instead of, you know, water bottles, they have their canisters of water for the day and such, so that they don't have to have those plastic bottles in their lunchbox or so forth and so on, and that's so important.
It is, and we can discuss a couple of simple things everybody can do just to lighten the load. But locally, to bring in your original question about what we're really doing and what we're doing to affect children, and you had also mentioned the government, we have on Monday, June 25th, the Jupiter Town Council meeting.
Okay.
And so, Mary Lou, I'm going to let you carry that a little bit, but we're really excited about that.
So when we first proposed the idea of a single-use plastic straw ordinance to the Town of Jupiter council members and the mayor, they referred it to the Beach Committee for a recommendation. We sat with them.
And the Beach Committee is just a committee that does beach cleanup.
Well, they're actually elected by the council members and the mayor to advise them on what may be the best recommendation for issues affecting our local beach here. So they're kind of like elected officials in a way.
Okay.
And so the town takes their consideration very heavily, obviously. So we sat with them, we had a public meeting, we gave them the presentation, what the ordinance would be, what it would not be, and they were very interested, but they needed some more information. So now they've hosted a special meeting on Monday, June 25th at 7:00 p.m., and that will be another opportunity for the public to come and have 3 minutes of speaking time, as well as for us to propose other answers to questions that they asked at the first meeting. After this hearing, they will make their recommendation to the town to either adopt or decline this ordinance. Mm. And it's really important to understand what the ordinance is. And what it is what I consider the right type of ordinance, because we've seen a lot of these plastic straw ordinance happen throughout the United States, but all of them have been what I call weak sauce, in that they have some components that are not really tackling the major producers of these products. So in a lot of instances, fast food establishments are exempt. There's these weird exemptions that really are the people that are providing these straws the most.
Right.
So our ordinance is twofold. It does not exempt anybody, whether they're a business, a vendor, or a, you know, providing a public service, from not using single-use plastic straws. And it takes away the auto straw. So when you go to a restaurant, if the ordinance passes, you have to ask for a straw in order to receive one. And the establishment that is giving you a straw, it needs to be a biodegradable type product. It cannot be a single-use plastic straw. And in many cases, it can't be a compostable straw, because we don't have composting facilities here in the state of Florida. So there's like this weird conception or misconception that, oh, this is a compostable straw, and if I just throw it in the landfill, it's going to disintegrate and disappear, and it's not causing any harm. That's actually not true. If the conditions are not correct, it just acts the same way as a single-use plastic straw.
So we're hoping as many residents of Jupiter or business owners in Jupiter can join us on that Monday, June 25th. The information is on the Town of Jupiter website as far as when they're meeting.
Yeah.
If you want to read the ordinance, it's on Ban the Straw, our website. there is a tremendous amount of
information. That's bandistraw.com.
Yeah. Bandistraw.jupiter.com.
Bandistraw.jupiter.
Okay, good.
Luckily, we're not the only people doing this.
Yeah. Bandistraw.jupiter.
And then the Saturday before that, I'm chair of the healthcare committee for the Palm Beach North Chamber of Commerce, and we have a huge beach cleanup that Saturday beforehand. Mm-hmm. So that's on Saturday, June 23rd. We'll be at Loggerhead. Loggerhead does a great job. They shut down. They open up a little early just for our group. We're expecting several hundred people. We have a lot of sponsors, so there's great food as well. It's a little bit of education, but mostly fun, and we do a beach cleanup, and that is where you can really see what's out there.
Mm-hmm. So all this sounds very positive, and it's sort of positive reinforcement to do our good. What do you do if there is some sort of a hellfire preaching about this, if you know what I mean, to paint a picture of what we're looking at? You know, I mean, you mentioned the picture of the turtle with the straw, and it's nasal passage.
It's a video, and it's very alarming. And we've only had, I feel very positive in saying that we've actually only have had a handful of people who have openly opposed this ordinance.
Mm-hmm. And so people are getting it.
Yes, the majority of people realize that this is a problem.
There's not much hellfire preaching. What about Miami? What about down in Miami, Katie?
So Miami is actually moving forward with some exciting initiatives right now. There was a movement that we were part of called Miami is Not Plastic in January. And essentially,
Miami is not plastic.
We are not plastic. We're
okay. I like that.
And so the concept behind this is basically getting sustainable product vendors, local businesses, government, and nonprofits all together. And it initially launched as a large event, and we actually had over 400 people attend. Commissioner Ken Russell spoke. Commissioner Vince Lago also spoke. He's the one that has pushed forward with the plastic bag ban in Coral Gables. And it really brought all of these minds together who potentially were working in silos previously, so that businesses saw the public supports this. Government saw the public supports this, and businesses are interested in getting plastics removed from the table. And it began this conversation where business and government can work harmoniously, where it's not going to be such a severe regulatory issue, but something that can be worked on together. And I'm really excited because the mayor of the city of Miami Beach, Dan Gelber, actually last week on Wednesday announced that Miami Beach is now going to move forward with a plastic-free campaign. And so I think, again, we're going to replicate this model of bringing business, government, nonprofits, and sustainable vendors together as sort of a kickoff and getting all of these businesses to sign on.
This is wonderful.
I'm really excited to be a
part of it. Because we're doing this, and obviously, you know, we're sort of central Florida here. We're south to central a little bit in Jupiter.
Yeah.
We're considered south. And then Miami's at the end of this peninsula where we're obviously surrounded by water, which mm-hmm. makes this peninsula except for one end. And so provided we can do this right, which thank God for you guys doing this, we can do this right. This will be a template for the rest of the coastal communities who are also doing this.
It is.
And then we might have a chance here.
I'm hopeful we do. We just need to educate the people giving out the straws.
Yeah.
And we need to educate the people consuming the straws.
Yeah.
So really, when you're talking about what's the biggest pushback, it's just letting people know that it's bad.
Right.
It's that simple. Because once you realize that it can change our environment, and especially for this state, it could change tourism. No one's going to want to come here if there's there are no reefs to dive on because it's been dead. I went diving in Mexico over the summer. People were snorkeling and diving on dead reefs, and they didn't even know that they were dead. Because they're just, and their litter is horrible, and that's our future if we don't do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're too late. We need to stop immediately.
We're behind the eight ball. We have to get ahead of it.
And I'm sure if you talk to the people at MacArthur or the people at Loggerhead, they are doing studies constantly, outcome studies based on how much trash they're collecting and the effect on wildlife. Mm. And we're seeing the damage we're doing in real time, and it's happening fast.
Thank you. So we have bandistrawjupiter.com to stay in touch. We have upcoming events to attend if you're in this area. in June.
Yep, beach cleanup on the 23rd, and then the town council meeting on the 25th.
And then for Miami, we have founder of Debris Free Oceans, and your website is Katie Wax?
That's www.debrisfreeoceans.org.
Beautiful. Thank you for all of your work. We all need to do our part. I'm obviously going to get chastised after my wife hears this about my use of plastic bags when I go shopping. You know, household of six kids and two of us, I do most of the shopping, and I do the plastic bags, and I've got to stop. I wonder if they have, like, what,
we'll
Gucci?
Set you
Gucci?
Up.
Yeah,
we'll we got you covered.
We'll
We're going to take great care of you.
I want my initials on them.
We can do whatever you want if it means that we can reduce the plastic.
It's like my cups. I don't do the plastic water bottles, but I have my nice Yeti cup in black.
That's okay. It's not
anyone
it's
who
not
knows me.
Use.
I like black.
It's not single use. That's the best part.
So
that's wonderful.
My bag's got to be stylish too. Anyway,
yeah,
you can do it.
Once you go reusable, you can't go back.
There we go.
Plastic bag.
All right. Well, love you guys. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for all your work. And today's Soul Supplement, presented by Rejuva Stem Cell Clinic, our friends at RejuvaStemCellClinic.com, where you can put the spark back in your life, take advantage of scientific innovation that harnesses the power of umbilical cord cells to stimulate regeneration in your own body. The Soul Supplement is... Refuse single-use plastics as much as possible. Reusable is the way to go. Start with one thing you can do every day, because every day is a new opportunity to go plastic-free. This has been another Maximum Health Quality Living with yours truly, Dr. Ken Gray. If you've missed any part of this amazing and inspiring show, prx.org, exchange, I guess you have to type that in now and look up Maximum Health. Thank you.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.